Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Schmerl. And I am just a dude.
How's it going today, Tommy?
Well, it's going good, Mike. You know, we have always been purveyors of the bare facts. I mean, the naked truth. So, with that in mind, we thought that this week's episode should be about nudity and the law.
Well, that's a really strange coincidence because I got an email from one of our listeners, some lady named Godiva, who sent in a question about public nudity.
Well, you know, there may have been a national incident that sparked that. I was reading recently that just a couple weeks ago was National Go Topless Day, where women all over the country are encouraged to go topless in protest of the laws that forbid them from not wearing shirts in places where men can go around without wearing shirts. They want equal rights. And you know, Mike, I have always been one to stand up for women's rights.
I agree. I think they should have the right to go topless if they want. I'm 100% behind this.
So I think that this week it would be good for us to look at nudity and the law. And where do we stand on that?
Where do you stand on nudity and the law? I'm for it.
Here.
I don't know. That's a funny question. Are you for nudity and the law or against it?
Nudity and the law? Is that two separate issues or is it one?
Yeah.
I'm for the law and I'm for nudity. So how does that go?
So basically, there are no national or federal nudity laws. Each law is going to be on a state-by-state basis. So different states are going to have different statutes and laws and codes and ordinances about what is allowed. Even more so, different counties or municipalities might have different laws about nudity as well.
Well, you know, do you think that goes back to our forefathers? And when they founded this country, they felt that we should be allowed to run nudely about. So they didn't pass any federal laws as they formed this fine country.
That was probably part of it. The other part would be that founding fathers and they're wanting to have like a loosely based federation of states. They wanted to keep states' rights
over federal rights.
Because it was
like the rule of the king, right?
Right. They wanted a strong central government, but they still wanted the states to have their individual powers to regulate, I guess, kind of their own areas, which if you think makes a lot of sense. There's certain things when states regulate them that obviously the federal government can't allow or trumps it, and that's a good thing. So,
well, I also think it had to do with some of our forefathers were a little bit randy, and they didn't publicize. That part didn't make the history books, but I remember reading something that said that Benjamin Franklin used to sit around in his study room naked while he worked on new ideas. Now, I've seen some pictures of Benjamin Franklin. He was a rather portly guy, and this could not have been a pretty sight. That may have been what first moved people to say, we got to do something about this.
Well, he did.
When you're in Philadelphia, Ben, you got to cover that stuff up.
He did spend a lot of time in France, I think. So maybe he picked up some of the European culture for nudity.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. I know that Europe has
Or as we say it in West Virginia, oi, oi.
Oi, oi. I know that Europeans have a lot more nude beaches, I think, than we do here in the U.S. And I was in Brazil on a trip and was walking down the beach and saw just women walking topless down the beach. And I think they were European. I couldn't tell, but that was my best guess.
Did it really matter?
I don't know.
If whatever the statutes of that area are, but I think in general, European countries have a freer definition or a freer when it comes to nudity. I know that we used to be shocked when we would get, when BBC shows first started being shown over here, and they would have nudity on them on the regular public airwaves,
right,
that you didn't have in America. It was, you know, strictly forbidden over here. And they had shows, hey, look, there was a boob. Hey, look, there was a person's butt. And it was like, wow, yeah, they got that on TV? You couldn't believe it.
Well, in the U.S., wasn't the, one of the first shows, like, on primetime when Ricky Schroeder showed his butt on NYPD Blue or something? Or
I don't think it was Ricky Schroeder, because he wasn't. Was he one of the original ones?
I don't know.
I don't know if he didn't join it till later.
I don't remember which one it was.
But all I know is nobody wanted to see Sipowicz's butt. There was no reason why they had to show that.
Did Sipowicz show his butt on there?
Oh, yeah.
They did?
Yeah. I think I had to go back in my room and be sick or something. There was no excuse for that. I didn't want to see his face, let alone his butt.
Performance art.
I guess you could call it that.
I didn't think we were going to be discussing Sipowicz's butt today.
I remember in Friends when Joey Tribbiani had to be a stand-in naked butt for some other actor like Charlton Heston or something. See, and they were telling him, quit clinching. He said, well, that's how my butt is interpreting this scene.
That's funny. Well, so one of the Supreme Court cases that talks about nudity, there's not a lot of them, and it's Barnes versus Glenn Theater. And it's a 1991 Supreme Court case, and it's regarding nudity and freedom of speech. So this case, there were two businesses in South Bend, Indiana. One was called the Kitty Cat Club, and the other was the aforementioned Glenn Theater. And these were both adult entertainment establishments. So basically, they employed nude dancers.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't think they were quite strip clubs, because I think the one was like one of those places where you go and put a penny or something in the slot and then the screen opens up and there's a dancer there or something.
Oh, so they were adult entertainment stores and they had dancers that you could, surely it was more than a penny.
Well,
I don't want to see a dancer you can see for a penny. I want to at least put a dollar. I want to have at least a dollar's worth of a dancer.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you had to keep feeding pennies.
Pretty
in
soon
there.
They're going to be paying you to look at them. Yeah.
Well, I think I've had to guess the Kitty Cat Club was probably more like a strip club, and the Glenn Theater was probably more like a, you know, something like that. Maybe. I don't know.
Where were these places at?
They were in South Bend, Indiana.
Okay.
Home of Notre Dame, I believe.
Oh, well. Okay, so you would expect a strict religious overtones, huh?
I would think so, yeah. So there was an Indiana statute, and the statute basically stated that dancers must wear, at a minimum, pasties and G-strings to provide some coverage. And both these businesses, they wanted to have just totally nude dancers. So
okay.
What they did is they filed a suit to have the court declare the statute unconstitutional. And they filed this in the Northern District Court of Indiana. And actually, the District Court of Indiana, the Northern District, that is, agreed with them and granted an injunction against the enforcement of the statute. To give you a little background about the different court systems, too, so because that might not, it's probably not common knowledge and want to try to educate a little bit. So there's two different kinds of court systems. There's a state court and a federal court. State courts are run by the states. Federal courts are run by the federal government. So they filed this in the federal court. So another thing, too, is the title of the case. Barnes versus Glenn Theater, they didn't sue like the state of Indiana or anything like that. They sued Michael Barnes, and he was the local prosecuting attorney, and what they were seeking was an injunction to prevent him from prosecuting them under the statute. And that's what this court did with that injunction. They said, Mr. Barnes, you are enjoined from filing criminal charges against these people for dancing nude.
Okay, so they hadn't come in and busted them or anything like that. They were preemptively saying they want to do this, so they filed the injunction against him so he couldn't do anything?
Correct. Yeah, they were trying to be proactive about it.
I see. All right. So it's not like they got busted and they were trying to defend themselves.
Right. The prosecuting attorney, or in the state of Indiana, I'm sure they probably picked this up as well. Probably the attorney general was arguing it. But they said they wanted to appeal this, so they appealed it to the district or the circuit court of appeals for that area. So there's district courts throughout the country, and then there's different circuit court of appeals, and they cover multiple district courts.
So there's different levels that you can move up through state and federally, until you get to the Supreme Court is the last say-so.
Right. But we're just talking about the federal portion right now.
Okay.
So the district court was appealed to the Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's the intermediate level of appeals. They're kind of like the regional, I guess, maybe you'd say like a regional type court. And the Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the district court and kept the injunction in place. And then they appealed again. And that's how they got to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is the one that you always hear about, the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court actually held that the statute was constitutional. And they reversed the lower court's ruling and ruined bachelor parties for everyone in South Bend, Indiana. The interesting thing about that case, though, is that it was a plurality decision, and that basically means that there was no single opinion that received the majority of the court votes. The judgment opinion of the court was joined by three judges, and there were two other justices who wrote concurring opinions, basically saying they agreed with the decision, but maybe for different reasons. And then there was a pretty strong dissent. So since it's a plurality opinion, it's not it's still binding case law, and it's still precedent. But it's maybe not quite as conclusive as where there's a majority opinion as opposed to a plurality.
So in other words, if it was like a 9-0, then you figure there's no sense challenging that. You're pretty much going to lose. If it's a split decision, more or less, then maybe if you came at it in a little different way and argued a little bit different, you might influence that one or two other judges to cross over to your.
Yeah. Yeah, and also that also looks at the kind of the makeup of the court too. Mm-hmm. So if you have certain judges who are known to be very conservative and they voted or ruled in one direction, and they're no longer on the court, then and you have somebody who's a bit more maybe liberal, then you might get a different outcome, especially if it's a close decision like
so
that.
So you had one dissenter. So there was one that was saying they disagreed. They thought maybe you should be able to.
Right. You had one dissenting opinion, but it was joined by the other four justices. So it was a 5-4. The dissent opinion was actually had more justices in agreement than any of the other opinions. If you think about it that way, it's kind of funny.
The ones that majority that they agreed on the outcome, but not for the reason.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The majority agreed on the outcome, but then the most people that agreed on the opinion were actually in the dissent. They all had the same opinion. So
I see.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation.
All right, so that was the only time that nudity went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the leading case on it. And it was based on First Amendment free speech type arguments. And they applied what's called the O'Brien test, and that's kind of for intermediate scrutiny. And the O'Brien test is a four-part test, at least it was at that time. And the O'Brien test said, number one, is the restriction within the constitutional power of the government? So is it within the power of the government to regulate these kinds of things? Number two, does the restriction further important or substantial government interest? So is there some sort of reason why they want to have this? It's a legitimate reason. Number three, is a governmental interest unrelated to the suppression of free expression? And number four, is the restriction narrowly tailored, meaning it's not like overly broad? Some of the judges felt that test should apply. One justice in particular felt that test shouldn't even apply. So it was kind of a little bit all over the place with this opinion, but it was, kind of an interesting case nonetheless.
Well, and it's kind of like the laws as they're written from state to state. And I mean, it's not only state laws that's involved. There's municipalities and different localities and things like that. They all have their own interpretation on these things. And they can all, you have to be careful where you're at. There's nothing that's really right on this is what it is. Nudity itself is not inherently expressive conduct. So a lot of the state laws talk about expressive conduct, that what it's expressing, and it's not really doing that. Now, wasn't there a case came about in Indiana that had to do with a barbecue place that got raided?
Yeah, that was the old Hickory Barbecue, which
everyone knows is a strip club.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but it makes the barbecue restaurant here in Huntington look pretty tame by comparison, I guess.
Yeah.
The only butts you see there are the Boston butts.
The Boston barbecued ones. Now, those are some fine-looking butts.
I love to sink my teeth into those butts.
And that's not expressly prohibited.
Baby got back ribs.
Oh, God, don't break into the Backstreet Boys.
So, yeah, so basically this was the Old Hickory Barbecue was raided. And some of his dancers, the owner said, were arrested for public indecency.
Well, but if I read that right, their dancers were wearing thongs, which I don't assume they're talking about the shoes. I assume they're talking about the bathing suit bottoms.
Right. And I guess there's some sort of discussion about whether or not a thong is allowed, but a G-string is not. And what?
Well, yeah, because you read that law and it said the minimum covering would be a G-string. And this was in Indiana. Yeah. It said it would be a G-string and pasties.
Right.
And I don't think they were topless, but they were wearing thongs. Now, it's been my experience in my years of study that a thong covers more than a G-string. I don't know. So I don't understand how they would do it. And then he also, this prosecuting attorney that was involved in this case, he misspoke, if you ask me, saying the Supreme Court has ruled on this. Well, the Supreme Court didn't rule that this type of dress is illegal. What it ruled was the municipalities or individual locations have the right to make their own rules.
Right. As long as they're the narrowly tailored. And so I guess there's probably a good argument that a G-string actually is more narrowly tailored than a thong.
Well, yeah, but I don't think we're talking about that.
Hey, it's part of the O'Brien test.
I'll know it when I see it.
Exactly.
Parade me some G-strings and parade me some thongs, and I'll know it when I see it.
This is I would take this case.
Is that all judges do?
I would take this case pro bono.
Pro what?
Pro bono.
Okay. I thought you said pro something else.
No, pro bono.
Not boner.
No, not definitely not pro boner. The other interesting thing about that case was, is they were talking about the, I guess the statute says that the covering can't be opaque. So,
it must be opaque.
Or, I'm sorry, it must be opaque. And they were saying that it wasn't, or that it was. I don't know. Something. Whatever I said, reverse that, flip it around, take it, whatever.
Huh?
Yeah.
What? It must be an opaque covering. That's a strangely worded way to do it anyway. There must be an opaque covering. I mean, that reminds me of windows or something.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what? It has to be opaque covering.
Yeah. You have to wear a thong or a G-string, but it must be opaque. We have to see through it.
Indiana seems to be on a real campaign against nudity.
It's a hotbed of nudity and the law.
Yeah, I never knew that Indiana was like that, but apparently they are.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess I have a misconception, too. I would think that the place that you have the biggest problem with nudity is warm places.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that cold places would have too much trouble with that, you know? I don't.
No, I would not go nude in a cold place. No, I'm just saying.
It's like New Hampshire here not too long ago. They had a vote on it. They arrested two women for walking down the street in protest. They were topless, and they were protesting that they had to wear shirts when men didn't. So they were arrested for it, and when they took them in to trial, they threw the case out because they said basically they weren't violating the law because they weren't doing anything overtly sexual by doing that. Just simply walking down the street topless was not a sexual act, and that's the way the law was.
Right. A lot of those laws are written for, overtly sexual type acts.
And the judge said this was nothing overtly sexual about it. So he basically threw it out. So at that point, their New Hampshire legislature panicked. We've got to write some stricter laws. We've got to get something. Yeah, this is terrible. And they took it as far as to give examples where they said, there's going to be topless women sitting around at Little League baseball games, and all these little boys are going to be staring at all these boobs everywhere. This is going to be terrible. Our whole state will become corrupt.
The whole state will start going to Little League baseball games.
So, and along with the barbecue place in Indiana. So they say, we got to write a law with it. Evidently, they worked on it for a while, and finally they gave up. And what I thought was funny was one of their final reasonings in why they gave up working on it. They said, we really don't think it's going to be much of a problem. The average year-round temperature in New Hampshire is 43 degrees, so we don't think we're going to have a lot of people out there like that.
It's a small window of opportunity.
All right, let's get back. Indiana. All right, here's the way that their state law addresses this.
What statute number is that?
It's Section 1A.
Section 1A?
Under the public indecency. And I want to state up front that I am uncomfortable using some of the words that they have in this. This is their state law, so it's a matter of public record, but I'm still uncomfortable vocalizing some of these words as they're written. So anyway, it says, a person who knowingly or intentionally in a public place appears in a state of nudity with the intent to arouse the sexual desires of the person or another person, or fondles a person's genitals or the genitals of another person, commits a public indecency. A person at least 18 years of age who knowingly or intentionally in a public place appears in a state of nudity with the intent to be seen by a child less than 16 years of age commits public indecency. It says, as used in this section, nudity means the showing of the human male or female genitals. I'm glad they put human in there. That was necessary language. The human male or female genitals, pubic area, or buttocks, with less than a fully opaque covering, the showing of the female breast with less than a fully opaque covering or any part of the nipple, or the showing of covered male genitals in a discernibly turgid state. I've never heard that word turgid. I'm assuming it's similar to rigid. But guys, do not wear tight pants and get excited, or you're in violation of the public decency laws. If you're in Indiana, a person who in a place other than a public place with the intent to be seen by persons other than invitees and occupants of that place appears in a state of nudity where the person can be seen by persons other than the invitees. As used in this section, nudity has the meaning set forth of this chapter, a person who knowingly or intentionally appears in a public place in a state of nudity. I won't read on in that anymore. It just keeps going on about different places you can't be nude at.
That's kind of, if you ask me, it's kind of a turgid law.
Yes, it's very rigid. Well, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
You're talking about a body of legislators that sat down and crafted this language, and they even felt the need to put in the word human when you're talking about the genitalia that's exposed.
Yeah, I don't get why there was such a rush to action.
They're really worried about this. There is some real fear of nudity. I have to say that on some levels, I wonder if, like in European countries, with the more relaxed attitudes towards it, that you have less sexual related crime because it's not so repressed and so mysterious or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because you would probably think that traditionally people who identify themselves as conservative, they would say like, oh, we support conservative values. So they want to have laws like this on the books, which prohibit nudity and things like that, because they have, you know, conservative ideals. But traditionally, the term conservative meant somebody who wanted less government. So they're kind of at ends with each other, because if you're conservative, you really should want less government. You shouldn't want more laws on the books which regulate these type of things. So it's kind of the argument between, I guess, libertarianism versus conservatism, things like that. But that's more, I guess, like a political ideology type discussion.
Well, and that's the same way when you read through this. We've got this list of the state laws. Now, this is not all-encompassing as far as what laws, because this is just a state law. There may be individual municipalities and cities and county laws and stuff like that that you have to be aware of.
Oh, there are. And actually, when we get to this next section, I found one that I have personal knowledge of.
Well, good. Well, what I thought was would be fun to do, since we have this wide variety and there's different ways to go about how a state wants to protect itself against nudists running about freely, I asked Mike before we started, pick your five that you think states that you think are most restrictive and your five that you think are least, and we'll compare our lists and see how we do there and how we're thinking. I think we thought about it in a different manner.
Yeah.
But anyway, we can go over those states because we don't want to bore people with going over 50 states. And
yeah.
And a lot of them are almost worded the same.
Yeah, they are. A lot of them are very worded the same. And when I'm talking about least restrictive, I tend to think of that as more like they're narrowly tailored. So they're very specific about things that they state. And so it's not, you can't read it as being broad. So I think whereas you thought the more it listed.
Yeah. I mean, the one that just says, hey, don't walk around outside naked, you know, or some of them are very specific as these sex acts in a public place are not allowed.
See, and I think that the one that says don't walk around naked, that's the most restrictive because that can be read to be the most restrictive.
But it's like, I'll know it when I see it. If everyone is open to interpretation. So.
That's true. But I think from a legal point of view, I think the more broad it is with its language like that, it's more restrictive because it can be used to apply to more situations. So I think our thoughts about what's restrictive versus least restrictive would be kind of maybe at odds.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite public indecent exposure law.
Okay.
If I had to pick one.
All right.
And I think I don't know whether it's least restrictive or most restrictive. It's just my favorite. And I really want to talk about it.
All right.
And that's Iowa's.
Iowa. Oh, I had that on my most restrictive list.
Yeah. I have it on my most restrictive list as well. But if I read it, you know, it might not. It depends. But anyway, It's got some of the best language I've ever seen in any state law. It's Iowa 709.9, indecent exposure. A person who exposes the person's genitals or pubes to another.
And this is the only state that mentions pubes.
Yeah, not pubic hair, not whatever, pubes.
Pubes. We're not paraphrasing.
To another.
These are quotes.
To another, not the person's spouse. Or who commits a sex act in the presence or view of a third person commits a serious misdemeanor if the person does so to arouse or satisfy the sexual desires of either party, and the person knows or reasonably should know the act is offensive to the viewer. The interesting thing about it that I see is that it has the word pubes in it. And evidently you can flash your spouse and that's allowed.
Yes, you're allowed to because you would not have a expectation that they would be shocked or annoyed or alarmed. That seems to be the language that's in a lot of them.
I kind of have a problem with it, though. I mean, just because you're married to somebody doesn't necessarily mean you want that person flaunting their genitals or pubes at you.
Well, that's true, but I guess if you're married to them, you're stuck with it.
Maybe so. I don't know.
As long as you don't touch them. Now, there is such thing as spousal rape. It doesn't get into this.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to flash them whenever you want if you're married to them.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, otherwise, if somebody really wanted to get you, heck, you get out of the shower and they're standing there. I mean, where do you draw the line?
I don't know. By the toilet? So what's your next?
I was going to say, but Iowa really seems to have a problem with pubic hair in general because they go on. They have an additional statute that says there are no nude establishments in Iowa, as noted by 728.5, public indecent exposure in certain establishments. An owner, manager, or person who exercises direct control over a place of business required to obtain sales tax permit shall be guilty of a serious misdemeanor under any of the following circumstances. If such person allows or permits any person to remain in or upon the place of business who exposes to public view the person's genitals, pubic hair, or anus. Now, I don't know where butts stand on that because butts and anuses are two different things.
Right.
As far as if you don't bend over, maybe you're okay.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you're just mooning somebody, you might be okay because maybe you're not necessarily. I mean, we're splitting hairs here.
As long as you don't split cheeks. But again, they have to mention pubic hair. Iowa is really concerned with pubic hair. I don't know. There must be a problem with it out there. I'm not sure.
I wonder if one of my favorite all-time pranks was, which is called the pressed ham.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what a pressed ham is?
Oh, yeah.
Where you moon somebody and push your butt up against the window.
Yeah.
You leave the print.
Yep.
You think a pressed ham would be against the law there?
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, one of the ones to me that was absolutely the most restrictive is Utah. And I guess, you know, Utah is considered a very conservative and very religious state.
Yeah.
So it says a person is guilty of lewdness if the person, under circumstances not amounting to rape, object rape, forcible sodomy, forcible sexual abuse. Now, that's the strongest language of anyone I've seen. Aggravated sexual assault or an attempt to commit any of these offenses performs any of the following acts in a public place or under circumstances which a person should know will likely cause affront or alarm to, on, or in the presence of another who is 14 years of age or older. exposes his or her genitals, the female breast below the top of the areola, the buttocks, the anus, or the public, or the pubic area. area. They didn't say pubic hair, the pubic area.
Or the pubic area. Yeah, well, there's a whole argument made about that.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I was the only one that mentioned specifically pubic hair. That's a pubic area.
Your Honor, I move to dismiss. There is no hair.
But why do you have to list the buttocks and the anus? You can do just the buttocks, I guess, but buttocks covers the anus. You don't have to.
Literally, it does.
You don't have to list them both. I feel it's gratuitous at this point. They just wanted to put that word out there because they can't say it at home or something.
Maybe. That is a good one.
And then they have at the bottom a little note at Diamond Fork Hot Springs in the, I'll say this wrong, Uinta Wasatch Cache National Forest. A sign is posted at the trailhead. It reads, "Although nudity is not prohibited on Forest Service land, discretion is advised. In spite of this, arrests have been made." So why put that up if you're going to arrest people anyway? Yeah. I don't understand it.
I thought one of the most restrictive was Georgia. Did you have Georgia on your list?
Yeah. No, I did not put them as the most restrictive. And they do have a lot of language.
The reason I put theirs in there is because it says... under Georgia 16.6.8, public indecency, a person commits the offense of a public indecency when he or she performs any of the following at a public place. 1, acts of sexual intercourse. 2, lewd exposure of sexual organs. 3, appearance in a state. Oh, this is the one that got me. 3, a lewd appearance in a state or partial or complete nudity. Or a lewd caress or indecent following of the body of another person.
Fondling. Not following. Follow them lewdly. You can't fondle them lewdly.
Fondling them.
What's a fondle that's not lewd?
Pinching your cheeks. The butt cheeks, but you're like, you know, the one that.
Well, that's not a fondle.
The one that you're like. Aunt or grandmother always used to do this. Like, look at those cheeks.
It's like an old Seinfeld episode when George asked Jerry, he said something like, "How do you know when sex has occurred?" And he says, "Well, I believe it's when the nipple makes its first appearance."
Well, the thing that struck me about the George one is a lewd appearance in a state of partial or complete nudity. So, like, partial nudity, and it's not really. Define.
Well, you could say that someone in a bathing suit or a bikini is partially nude.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why
if,
I think it's...
If you're acting lewdly in your bathing suit, you're going to jail in Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You came across some... In our...
Extensive research.
Extensive research about...
No fig leaf left uncovered.
But didn't you come across somewhere about a city about banning underboob or something?
Yeah. Here's what's odd. There are, 5 states. There are 5 states that are unique and that they each have laws expressly allowing women to go topless in any location where men could do so legally.
Right.
Now, I will advise this. We have the disclaimer at the beginning that says don't follow this advice as legal advice. We're not advocating anyone go test what we say as absolute. So any of you women that want to test this, you're on your own. We didn't tell you. But in New York, Hawaii, Maine, Ohio, and Texas, the state law says if it's somewhere that's a public place that men can go around without a shirt, women can go around without a shirt without repeal of law. Now, the only one that I've heard that's tested is New York.
Right.
That's been tested, and the police department has actually been issued a memo by the legal department, do not arrest women walking around without tops on.
Yeah.
Now, that ends at the door to a business or something like that. Private businesses certainly have the right to regulate how you're dressed in their facilities. I mean, there's dress codes in place, and that's okay. Yeah. It doesn't limit your... freedom of speech.
Yeah, your freedom of speech ends at my front doorstep.
Yeah, but if you want to walk down the streets of New York without a shirt, women, you're okay to do it.
Yeah.
And that's been tested. Now, those other places, I'm not so sure. But the reason I mention that, Ohio's on that list. Yet, the city of Cleveland has seen fit to pass an ordinance that says no underboob. So the Kardashians better stay out of Cleveland, Ohio, is all I can say, because they're famous for their underboob, side boob, mall boob, I don't know. But they're so worried about that, they issued an ordinance specific to underboob.
Yeah.
That's illegal. They're going to arrest you if they see your underboob.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't either. But I would not have guessed there were any states that would have allowed that. Now, if there was one that I would think it would be okay, it'd be Florida.
Right.
But I have Florida actually down as one of my most restrictive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I said, maybe it's because I was so shocked that they weren't freer with things, but...
I didn't put them.
Mostly, I think it's their thing is very... They're very specific what they say. Exposure of sexual organs. It is unlawful to expose or exhibit one's sexual organs in public or in the private premises of another, or so near thereto as to be seen from such private premises in a vulgar or indecent manner, or to be naked in public except in any place provided or set apart for that purpose. Violation of this section is a misdemeanor of the first degree, punishable as provided in these sections. It does go on to clarify a mother's breastfeeding of her baby does not fall under this in any circumstance.
I like to see that language too, because a lot of these states don't have that language in there.
There's only about six or seven. I lost count. I was trying to keep up with that when I was going through this, but there's only about six or seven that specifically say breastfeeding cannot be prosecuted in any manner, yeah, even in public places.
Yeah, that's an important law, I think.
But this goes on and has further things. The state law in Florida makes nudity illegal only if the nudity is vulgar or indecent, but being naked on your property where you can be seen by neighbors is still against the law.
Yeah.
There are nude resorts and beaches in Florida, though some of the beaches are unofficial. Clothing optional spots, so be aware of local ordinances. Note that Brevard County has an anti-nudity ordinance. Cape Canaveral, Cocoa Beach, and Titusville are in Brevard County.
So do you know which county I used to live in Florida, don't you? It was Brevard.
Brevard.
Yes. So,
well, that's the most restrictive one.
Right. Well, the funny thing is there is actually a very well-known nude beach in Brevard County, Florida. And it's in the Canaveral National Seashore. It's a beach called Playa Linda. And it's right there where it actually closes during rocket launches because it's so close to Cape Canaveral where they launch the rockets. And it's well known that that's like kind of a nude beach. And you can see nude people there all the time.
Hmm.
It's actually a really good surf spot, too.
Well,
it's kind of really right there on the tip where the point or the...
There's all that language sounds just right. On the tip, on the point.
Yeah, it's just too many jokes. I'm just
surfs up. That has a whole new meaning to me now.
Yeah. One of the other interesting places in Florida, and it's funny you mentioned Fig Leaf, because it's in Key West, of course. There's a lot of nudity in Key West during like Fantasy Fest and things like that. But in the Key West, there's a private bar called the Bull and Whistle, and on the top of the Bull and Whistle is another bar, and it's called the Garden of Eden. And that's a nude bar in Key West. And you can go to that place and see lots of nude people walking around as well.
Well, but here's what I thought was kind of strange. I mean, first of all, they have a very restrictive law. And then Tampa sees fit to even pass more restrictive laws. Now, I don't know why Tampa, Florida is so worried about this. I guess they just don't want strip clubs at all in Tampa, Florida. Although, I don't know, maybe it's because they have a lot of retirees there or something. I'm not sure. But it says, in a hilariously worded law that clearly contradicts itself, strippers in Tampa may not expose their boobs while giving a topless dance and while in the presence of alcohol. Also, they must perform lap dances at least 6 feet away from a patron, making it more of a in-your-general-vicinity dance than a lap dance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people that took the time to sit down and write those are just, it's unbelievable to
me.
If
you've ever been to Tampa, there's a lot of strip clubs in Tampa, too. That's very strange.
Well, how do they operate with that being the law?
It must be one of those, like, selective laws they only choose to prosecute, like, on occasion.
Well, it also said you can't be topless if it's in the presence of alcohol.
Right.
So, I guess they have a lot of them where you can go drink Cokes and look at topless ones or something. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think they also have some where you actually you rent a cooler from them and you bring your own in. But you pay to like rent a cooler or something like
that. So you have to rent the cooler, huh?
I think so.
That's like the 2-drink minimum, huh?
Yeah. Rent the cooler. No boobs and beer in the same establishment.
But what? And alcohol can't be present. So why does it matter if they're selling it, if they're getting money and you're bringing it in?
Yeah.
And what is, boobs and alcohol don't mix. Children, remember this. I mean, what are we protecting people against?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's really strange. And the thing is, too, is like if you think about strip clubs, they're people in there working and yeah, they're nude and dancing around and they're trying to legislate against that. But there might be like a movie theater, which is an adult movie theater, which might show a pornographic movie or something just down the street. And that's fine.
Well, I think that was the case in that one that you mentioned about the barbecue place that they raided with the strip club. Because they arrested them for wearing thongs in there. And yet here was one of the ladies that was actually dancing there was appearing in an adult film just down the street. And that was okay.
Yeah.
They were showing the adult film with her in it, which had a lot more detail than a thong. And that was okay. So, you know.
How did you know? Did you see it? Because you know it if you see it.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know. It seems like that everybody would, if everybody sat down on their own, they would be completely different.
Oh yeah.
You know, because I mean, people don't think the same. So.
Yeah. That's usually my excuse when I walk around naked and get in trouble. It's like, is that against the law here? Cause I got to tell you, if I knew that, you know, I wouldn't have walked around naked.
Well, I don't think that was always the way though. I don't know. Or maybe they just didn't enforce too well. I remember when I was a kid, we would, of course, that was when it was okay to walk back and forth to school. You can't do that anymore. You'll end up on the side of a milk carton. But now then we walked back and forth to school. It wasn't a big deal. But there was this one house, and everybody always said that they called the guy that lived there Nicky Nude because he would stand in his doorway naked as the kids walked home from school or whatever. Now, I never saw him. I knew where the house was. I never saw him there, so I didn't know if people were making it up or what. But they talked about it. But as far as I knew, that guy never got arrested or anything.
No, if you did that in this day and age, SWAT team would be at his house, kicking in his door.
But at the time, I guess it just said, well, he's in his own house.
Yeah. So,
you know, of course, that was 50 years ago. So.
Yeah. Nicky Nude. Well, I think that's going to bring us to our favorite part. Or do we have more to talk about?
Oh, we had to cover 9 of the world's weirdest nudity laws.
Oh, okay.
We already covered one. That was the law in Tampa about general vicinity dance.
Yes.
Also, it says that in California, if you go hiking, you can go hiking nude. So if you put a backpack on, you can walk around nude in the woods.
Well, maybe all the strippers then should wear hiking boots and backpacks when they strip.
That would be all right.
Like hiking around the stage.
Yeah. So
I'm hiking up this pole.
California is fairly liberal in theirs. They said that at San Francisco, especially, there used to be no anti-nudity laws, but now they've changed that. So they're more restrictive now than they were. But apparently you can hike in California nude. Louisiana, streaking is totally cool in the bayou as long as you're not being too sexy about it. And by sexy, they mean running around naked with lascivious intent.
Oh.
So you can go running naked down the street as long as you're not turgid, I guess. I don't know. Shaking things at people on the way by. So, but it's not considered indecent if you're just running down the street naked in Louisiana.
We take a strong stance against turgidity.
Singapore. You're not allowed to be naked in your own house in Singapore. I mean, I guess you got to wear clothes under clothes or something, or be in a closed room and change one garment at a time or something.
Showering is very difficult.
Yeah, it says that you are not allowed to be naked in your own house. Let's see. Oh, we already went over the one in Cleveland. That's the one restrictive about underboob. We went over New York City. It's totally cool for New York City ladies to bare their breasts as long as it's not for business purposes. Wink, wink. That's right. In parentheses. I didn't add that.
You know, and about those laws, I joke and say like, oh, I'm all for it, 100%, whatever. But I really, not all joking aside, I think if a man can be topless in a place, then a woman should be too. I don't see why there has to be some difference for it. I mean, all joking aside, I think so.
Well, The reason that it does is based on old puritanical reasons, right, where the female breast is sexualized.
Yeah.
So until we grow beyond that, you know, and that's what I think maybe the European countries are further along because they've, you know, let that genie out of the bottle more than we have. In Sanford, Florida, you can't be completely naked on stage. At the very least, you have to wear pasties unless it is a bona fide theatrical show.
Oh.
So strippers tested that law in 2000 with a nude performance of Macbeth, and they were not prosecuted. So strippers in Florida, if you want to get away with, in Sanford, Florida, if you want to get away with it, you just need to perform a play. Learn some lines. Naked Hamilton. I don't know.
Once more into the breach, my friends. Well, that's Henry V, I think.
Yeah. Like Singapore, there is also a zero-tolerance nudity policy in Villa Hermosa, Mexico. Mm. The penalty, however, is a little bit lighter. It's up to 36 hours in jail or a fine of $121. So that's all the weird ones from around the world. Other than that, there are designated nudity zones in Munich, Germany. Right in the middle of the city in public parks, there are designated nudity zones where if you want to go there and be naked in the park, you can go there and be naked in the park.
There's this one beach in Puerto Rico that I've been to. It's called Wilderness. It's like pretty well-known surf spot. And you kind of have to drive along this dirt road, and there's some ruins along the way. And it's funny because in spray paint written on one of the ruins is Playa Nudista. And it's got an arrow pointing towards the surf spot. And it's not really a nude beach. The best that I could figure is that some locals wrote that there, hoping that they would see some tourists topless.
So they just added their own thoughts.
Yeah, they just spray painted Playa Nudista. It's just, yeah.
Now, there is a nude state park. That was one thing that said that any federal land, federal parks or districts are governed by the state that they reside in as far as the indecency laws.
Yeah.
But in Austin, there is McGregor Hippie Hollow Park. Yours to enjoy naturally.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely place.
Yeah, if you want to go there in Austin, you can. It's clothing optional, and it does warn you. It has notices up that nude swimming or sunbathing may be occurring beyond this point. So shield your eyes if you do not want to be shocked. So there are a few places like that. Canada seems to be less restrictive in what they do.
Canada's a little bit ahead of the curve, I think, in the U.S. from their deviation from kind of conservative values. I think they're a bit more progressive in that.
Well, they said that a 19-year-old in Ontario tested that. She went walking topless in a public place, but the Court of Appeals overturned it in its decision. The court noted her act was not done for sexual gratification and overall did no harm to the community. This 1971 in British Columbia, they said nude sunbathing is not of sufficient moral perpetuity to support a charge for doing an indecent act. Skipping in 1978 in Saskatchewan, after three men were spotted swimming nude at a secluded lake, the court said it would not be an offense to swim nude in an isolated spot if the swimmer misjudged the loneliness of the place.
I tell you, I would have to be a lonely place before I would go skinny dipping in a lake in Canada.
There again, I think it goes to warm weather. You'd think the warmer the weather is where you have the problem with nudity. What's up with these cold places?
Yeah, I'd be in a wetsuit.
Did they not see the Seinfeld episode where George complained about shrinkage?
There was shrinkage. Don't they know about shrinkage? That was my Jerry voice. That's not even.
And Elaine says, I don't know how you guys walk around with those things.
Oh, I love Seinfeld. I do a podcast just about Seinfeld.
All right. Well, you know what it's time for then, Mike.
Legal
briefs. I thought you were going to say our favorite part of the show.
Oh.
And then I was going into legal briefs.
It's kind of understood it's my favorite part of the show.
Oh, okay. Well, I know it is.
It's the part where I get to, this is the part of the show, for those of you who are just listening maybe for the first time, where I ask Tommy certain terms which we have discussed during the podcast. And Tommy has to see if he remembers what the legal term was.
There's so many terms I was uncomfortable with today. I hope my daughters don't listen to this podcast today. They don't want to hear their dad say the word anus. I don't want to hear their dad say the word anus.
No, I would not ask you that word. That's not a legal term.
I mean, that's not even a planet anymore.
No. Uranus isn't a planet?
No. And then, or was that Pluto? I guess Uranus is still one. Pluto's not, huh? Isn't that right? They declassified it.
I remember this one joke that you told me when I was younger. What does the Starship Enterprise and toilet paper
have in common? They both rush to Uranus to wipe out the Klingons. You remembered well, my child. Grasshopper, you have done well.
I'm telling you, growing up around Tommy telling jokes was a treat that I cannot really fully explain to you.
You probably remember more of them than I do because my mind is shot these days.
Well, the first term, I really want to say pubes, but I'm not going to go there.
Good.
District court.
District court. That's one of the federal level courts that's set up around the country that hears appeals from state level courts?
No, the district court is actually, that was close though. The district court is actually the trial level of the federal court system.
Oh.
So that's like if you file a federal lawsuit, that's where you actually have the trial would be in the district court.
All right.
So the next one is Circuit Court of Appeals.
Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, that's where you go if you don't get a ruling you like in the district court?
Yeah, exactly. That's the intermediate court. So there's kind of three levels of courts in the federal government, the third being the Supreme Court. So you have your trial in the district court, you appeal it to the circuit court, and then if you still appeal it again, you go to the Supreme Court if they accept it.
And after that, you go for the kangaroo court.
The kangaroo court?
That's only in Australia.
It's down under. Plurality.
Plurality. That is when the justices in a ruling agree on the outcome, but not the reason for the outcome. Like they both agree you can't do that, or however many of them agree you can't do that, but they think it's for different reasons that you can't do that. They right. don't necessarily agree on the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, they all agree that that's the outcome, but they've kind of applied different reasoning for it, and they usually have different opinions called concurring opinions. So you have like whenever you have a Supreme Court opinion, you have the main opinion of the court. Then you have concurring opinions of those are the people that the justices that agree with it. And then you have dissenting opinions that just absolutely disagree with the ruling altogether. So those are the different ones.
Aha. So I nailed 2 out of 3.
Yeah. And my next one was actually going to be dissenting. So
dissenting. Those are the ones that have a different opinion than the ones that agree.
Man, I could not have said that better myself. And the last one is not a hard one.
This is a bonus one?
Yeah, this is definitely a bonus one. The O'Brien test.
The O'Brien test. That was where it has the four factors that they measure something against to see if it meets the four factors.
Right.
And that's how they make a ruling on it. And one of them is it can't be too broad. It has to be narrow and tailored to the thing itself.
Exactly. That was the fourth one. The restriction has to be with... I'll just read them off for everyone out there wanting to really
learn. Not as smart as me.
Well, no. For everyone out there wanting to remember these, for whatever reason you might, maybe you're thinking about going to law school or I don't know. Number one, the restriction is within the constitutional power of the government. Number two, does the restriction further an important or substantial governmental interest? Number three, is the governmental interest unrelated to the suppression of free expression? And number four, as you said, is the restriction narrowly tailored, no greater than necessary?
Uh-huh.
The four-prong test.
All right.
So,
is that all that you have?
That's all that I have.
I have one for you.
Oh, boy.
What is turgid?
Turgid.
That was a word I learned in this.
Yes, that could mean rigid or swollen. Possibly engorged, I believe.
Well, let's not get too carried away there. I wasn't really looking for an answer.
Oh.
I was more looking for a reaction. Oh. Not that reaction.
I take legal briefs very seriously, Tommy.
Well, as long as your legal briefs are opaque enough that it doesn't show your turgidity.
I don't know if opaqueness covers up turgidity.
Well, it doesn't matter how opaque it is if your turgidity is obvious.
Yeah, I think that's like apples and bananas. They're two different things.
All right, Mike, we got to wrap this up. I do want to say that if all goes well, we're going to have a special guest on next week's edition.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're not going to give you the details of it, but we're going to bring in an expert for us. And the expert is my youngest daughter, Riley.
Yes, and we are.
And we're going to break down the law pertaining to one of her favorite subjects that she will be our resident expert on.
Yes, we are not going to miss our shot. That's all I'm saying. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.